Hello out there. So I want to put out an apology to all my listeners. Yesterday, my rough draft of the podcast episode that I send out to my producer inadvertently got published. So there's quite a few of you that heard the very rough version of this episode. It's been cleaned up. It's been corrected. So, big apology out there to my listeners. You got to hear me unpolished for about 20 minutes. But here's the actual polished version of this episode. Thank you again for listening and understanding. Darkness. It can test the boundaries of our imagination. What happens in the total absence of light, where shadows blend into the blackness and events occur that we can't visually decipher? We can only imagine. In today's story, a young woman named Roxanne Paltoff walked away from an argument with her boyfriend and vanished in the dark of night. That was 16 years ago. And in that time, the investigation into her disappearance has since stalled. So are there clues in those long-ago events that could bring Roxanne home? This is episode 33, In the Dark of Night, The Disappearance of Roxanne Paltoff. It was during the 4th of July holiday in 2006 that 18-year-old Roxanne Paltoff and her boyfriend, Lewis Walls, made plans to celebrate their two-year anniversary. The plan was to stay in a motel located in the Runnberg area of Austin, Texas. Roxanne told her mother she would be home in a few days, but Roxanne would never return from that trip. At the time, it was one of Texas's hottest summers on record. It was a memorable summer for that, because it was so hot and humid, most everyone who experienced it was miserable. And for the family of Roxanne Paltoff, it is a sad reminder of the last time they saw her, and the slow-moving investigation into her disappearance that has left an emptiness in their lives. But before we get too far ahead in this story, we need to take a few steps back to find out who Roxanne was and the circumstances that led to her disappearance. Roxanne Paltoff was born on January 3, 1988, in Austin, Texas. She was the oldest of five children born to Liz Harris. Known as Roxy by those close to her, Roxanne was also known for her dedication to family and her close bond with her sisters. She loved clothes and fashion design and had aspirations of one day becoming a stylist. It was over the 4th of July weekend in 2004, after she had turned 16, that she met and began dating Lewis Walls, a single father of two kids, who told Roxanne and her family he was only 18 years old. Neither Roxanne or Lewis's families approved of their relationship, with each side disapproving of the other, which caused some divide within Roxanne's otherwise tight-knit family. After a rough patch in high school, Roxanne opted to drop out and pursue her GED. It was while she was studying for the equivalency exam that Roxanne took advantage of a work assistance program, which set her up with an internship at Fiesta Flowers, a local flower shop in Austin. This job allowed her to spread her wings creatively with floral design, which kept some of her aspirations within reach. By 2006, despite some minor setbacks, things appeared to be coming together for this vibrant and now 18-year-old young woman. It was now approaching the 4th of July, and Roxanne was preparing for her getaway with Lewis to celebrate their two-year anniversary. It was on Tuesday, July 4th, that Roxanne packed a bag of clothes and made plans to return on the 7th to go shopping with her mother and sisters. She said goodbye and left with Lewis, and her family has not seen her since. On Friday, July 7th, instead of coming home, Roxanne called her mother and told her she was planning on staying with Lewis for one more day at the hotel in Austin, which both angered and disappointed her mother, because as Liz saw it, Roxanne was blowing off plans with her family to stay with Lewis, someone she strongly disapproved of. However, Roxanne promised she would be home the following morning. When Saturday morning came and went with no Roxanne, Liz and Roxanne's sisters went ahead with their shopping plans without her. They spent most of that day and afternoon at an area outlet mall. It was later that day, after Liz returned home, that she received a call from Roxanne's cell phone, but it wasn't Roxanne calling, it was Lewis. "Have you seen Roxanne?" he asked her, which she immediately fired back. "What do you mean, have I seen her? She's supposed to be with you." It was then Lewis told her that at around 8:30 p.m. the previous night, he and Roxanne got into a heated argument, and she stormed out of the motel and refused to come back. He said he returned to their room, waited around 20 minutes, and went back to where he last saw her, but she was gone. Lewis says he searched for her, but couldn't find her. Inexplicably, Roxanne had left all of her belongings behind in the room. Lewis had her purse, her cell phone, and all of her clothes, so if he was to be believed, Roxanne had walked out into the dark of night with just the clothes on her back and disappeared. On July 10th, 3 days after Roxanne was reported missing by both Liz and Lewis, the Austin Police Department's Missing Persons Unit began investigating Roxanne's disappearance. The investigators were immediately concerned when they learned of the area she had vanished from. The Runberg area of Austin, Texas, is described as a place to avoid by locals and authorities. It's a high-crime area known for gang activity, narcotics, and prostitution. Not a safe place for a young girl to be walking around alone in the dark. When detectives arrived at the motel Roxanne and Lewis had stayed at, they were immediately met with a setback. According to reports, the motel did not keep good records, making it difficult to know who had stayed at the motel during the time Roxanne was there with Lewis. Further complicating the investigation, the room Roxanne had stayed in had already been cleaned. By the time detectives arrived, another guest had stayed in the room, rendering it virtually useless for forensic testing. And due to the bad record keeping, investigators couldn't be certain that the room Roxanne rented was actually the one she had stayed in. On July 12th, 5 days after Roxanne had gone missing, Lewis Walsh showed up at Liz's house to return Roxanne's belongings, including a bag of clothes, her purse, and cell phone. However, upon inspection, Liz remarked that the clothes in the bag were not Roxanne's. In fact, many of the outfits were not her size. When confronted with this, Lewis told Liz he had just picked them up off the motel floor and put them in the bag. He did not offer any further explanation. Investigators looking deeper into the case focused on Lewis and began to learn many troubling truths about him. At the time Roxanne met him, she was 16, and Lewis, who had claimed he was 18, was in fact 28 years old at the time. Investigators also discovered he had a criminal record that dated all the way back to 1995, with many of his arrests being the result of abusive and violent behavior towards ex-girlfriends. Police were also having a difficult time getting him to return their calls to interview him in connection to Roxanne's case. For whatever reason, Lewis was not interested in helping police find Roxanne. Just when it seemed like the investigation should focus resources on investigating Lewis, a dark and disturbing event would change all of that and paint a horrifying possibility as to Roxanne's fate. On July 13th, 2006, 6 days after Roxanne went missing, and just a day after Lewis had returned Roxanne's belongings to her mother, a woman was attacked by a man in a Motel 6 near the Budget Inn motel Roxanne disappeared from. Fortunately, the woman was able to free herself away from her attacker and call police. Because he left his wallet behind, police were able to track the man down, a violent offender named Jeffrey Moore. Police, sorting through his belongings, found Roxanne's state-issued ID in his wallet. Unaware the ID belonged to a missing woman, booking officers logged the ID in their lost and found. On July 17th, investigators working Roxanne's case learned about Roxanne's ID. They questioned Jeffrey Moore, who at first indicated Roxanne was his friend and that he wanted to keep the ID and return it to her personally. Jeffrey, who's deaf, was unknown by any of Roxanne's family as a friend of hers, and according to Liz and Roxanne's sisters, she wouldn't have given her ID to anyone. When confronted with this, Jeffrey reportedly changed his story, saying that he had given Roxanne and Lewis a ride to their motel on July 6th, the day before Roxanne vanished. Lewis Walls would later confirm that Moore had in fact given them a ride. However, their stories differ on the route they took for that drive. Lewis would say later that Roxanne had her ID on her at the time and may have dropped it or left it in Moore's car. As the years passed, the investigation stalled. If authorities had new information, most of it hasn't been made public. There have been small developments over the years, some that could shed light on what happened to Roxanne and on Lewis Walls. In March of 2008, Lewis was arrested and charged with making terroristic threats against his ex-girlfriend Cassandra Tolbert. According to Cassandra, after rejecting his requests to continue their relationship, he told her, "I don't want to kill you like I killed Roxanne. I really did kill her. I know how to do something with bodies." Lewis was sentenced to 140 days in jail. While incarcerated, investigators met with Lewis to ask him about his claim that he killed Roxanne. According to reports, Lewis denied ever saying it, indicating instead that Cassandra had lied to get him in trouble, after which he served his sentence and was released. In March of 2014, working off of a tip, Austin police excavated a small area in an overgrown tract of land less than a mile from the Budget Inn Roxanne disappeared from. Using cadaver dogs, police focused on two areas the dogs alerted to. Unfortunately, after weeks of digging and searching, nothing related to Roxanne's case was found. Then, in 2019, 13 years after Roxanne disappeared, there was a big update in her case. Roxanne's family had obtained all of Roxanne's cell phone records and focused specifically on the time and day Roxanne reportedly disappeared. According to those records, hundreds of calls had been made from Roxanne's phone on July 7th, including 12 potential roaming calls between 6:44 p.m. and 8:42 p.m., with the bulk of calls being made in the hours after Roxanne disappeared. Many of those calls were to sex and chat lines. Others were to an ex-girlfriend of Lewis's. None were made to friends or acquaintances of Roxanne. It was also reported that a young woman working at the front desk of the Budget Inn spent time alone with Lewis in the same room after Roxanne vanished. So if Lewis was concerned about Roxanne, his actions certainly didn't show it. Many people familiar with this case have speculated that Roxanne had resorted to prostitution and that Lewis was her pimp. They use the fact that the small, tight-fitting outfits Lewis returned to her mother are evidence of this, along with a story that Lewis had tried to get his ex, Cassandra Tolbert, to be a prostitute for him, and the fact he and Roxanne had associated briefly with Jeffrey Moore, a man who had reportedly hired prostitutes in the past. It's also known that offenders, violent offenders, will keep trophies from their victims, which could explain why Jeffrey Moore had Roxanne's ID. Now, none of this is corroborated and remains speculation. And to this day, both Jeffrey Moore and Lewis Walls remain persons of interest in Roxanne's case. Roxanne's sister, Rosa Schultz, continues to use social media to keep Roxanne's story active. The Facebook page she started has posts from people who share information and have even posted encounters with Lewis. With advancing technology, cold cases are solved every day, and we hope that Roxanne's case is no different. And when that day does come, there will be a light that shines, and the disturbing secrets kept in the darkest of shadows will vanish, and Roxanne Paltoff will emerge from the darkness and finally return home.